Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
Let's get her going here this morning.
On a very beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, it was actually chilly. I had...
That was delicious.
I had goosebumps.
Oh, man.
A little chill up the back of my spine walking out to the truck this morning.
Delicious.
Here it comes. Fall. Favorite time of year. Absolutely.
And we've got a fall guest in the studio this morning. We'll get to in a moment. And it was 132 years ago this month that an incident, you know, Arizona has its own version of the, it's called the Grahams and Tewksbury, kind of our Hatfield and McCoy of our local area in the Pleasant Valley War. It was this September, 132 years ago, that Andy made his last mistake. Andy Belvin, one of the Graham supporters, when he led an ambush against the Tewksbury, killing John Tewksbury, that led to a warrant for his arrest. The local sheriff at the time, Commodore Perry Owens, then set out after him. And we'll have a little bit more about what happened at that event during this broadcast as we focus on the White Mountain Pine Top area, our featured staycation destination of the month. It's not nearly quite as rough as it was back in the Graham and Tewksbury days. For example, this afternoon, if you were just so inclined, you could go to the adult coloring class from 3 to 4:30 at the Pine Top
it's a Lakeside thing, you know. Library. It's a big thing right now, coloring books. I kind of get it. I like the
okay.
color.
Okay.
If you're a flute player, you can head
Do
over to
color the senior citizens or the senior citizens color.
We're going to get to an adult artist here in a moment that paints on grass. It's going to be a lot more fun to talk about.
Yeah,
we've got the Native Flute Circle over in Sholo if you want to go learn how to play Native Indian flute. Or you can head over in Sholo again to the Mountain Meadows Park for Crawtoberfest going on today. Bobby's up there cooking about 1,000 pounds of crawfish. And you could go up. It starts at 11. Get your crawfish and be back in time for the 7 o'clock kickoff at ASU. And we've got a special guest in who has done a very phenomenal job on the ASU end zone. We've got manager of athletic grounds, Brian Johnson. And tell me about this topographical theme y'all put together for the game today.
Well, it's we like to be creative with our end zones. And this was probably the most out there design that we've done. And it all started with our first game. We were just walking along the edge of the field and we saw some squiggly lines on the scoreboard, you know, behind the graphics. And we thought, hey, what if we painted a topographical map in the end zone? Not really thinking that it would get approved, but they did. Everybody seemed to like the design. And then my assistant, Josh Lenz, mapped everything out and made a nice computer printout of it, and it got approved. And 2 weeks later, it's on the grass, and we've had a lot of positive response from that.
And what is the topography of what?
It's of the two buttes on each side of the mountain, on each side of the stadium. So a mountain, and then the butte on the other side. So I've always had kind of a soft spot for the buttes and the setting that creates for the stadium. You know, you drive to work every day and you see that stadium kind of nestled between the two mountains, and it's in our fight song, Echo from the Buttes. So it's something that I thought would be really cool. A lot of the ASU fans really take pride in A Mountain and the Buttes, and now they'll see the topography of those on the field tonight.
So when your assistant mapped it out and you said on a computer program, how does that translate to the physically getting on the field? Do you print out big sheets and it's like a stencil, or?
Well, normally we would run strings and tape measures, but in this instance, we had our end zone letters already out on the field. So this topography map is kind of just overlaid on top of our end zone letters. So we were able to use those letters as a guide, just looking at this paper and see, okay, this part of A Mountain here squiggles through the A and comes through the S right here, you know, things like that. So it really didn't take as long as I was envisioning. It went pretty quickly.
You can see a picture of this on Brian's Twitter page. It's Bermuda 419S. What is that?
Well, 419 is the variety of Bermuda grass that we have on the field at the stadium. So it's a very common Bermuda grass on football fields. So
Bermuda.
It's a Bermuda grass and 419, yeah, at Bermuda 419, shameless plug.
And you've climbed up to the top of a mountain and posted a picture of the north end zone, and it was just over here on the left-hand side in the northwest corner where I was sitting in the stadium last when Early Doucette caught the pass from Jamarcus Russell to beat ASU in a comeback win when the game got moved from LSU Stadium to ASU because of Katrina.
That was a very interesting time. I remember watching the news coverage on a weekend before that game about Katrina and just feeling awful for what was happening down there. I really at that point didn't think of the possibility of a game getting switched, and then all of a sudden the game got moved, and when you were planning on having a nice off weekend, now we're hosting a game. Sometimes you have to scramble.
What kind of overtime hours did it take getting the field ready for that game on a short notice?
It required quite a bit, and we did some special painting for that game also. We painted a state of Louisiana and Arizona in each end zone, and I believe we painted something like Together We Stand in the end zones instead of a normal ASU end zone. So it was an interesting game. Everybody felt good about hosting the game and moving it. Everybody was so thankful from LSU that we did that, and I think the ASU fans had a little empathy for what they were going through at the time. So it was a very interesting game.
Now, Brian, when you come up with this idea, like now it's the topographic map in the end zone, does that stay for the year, or do you change every game?
No, it we repaint every game. With like after the game tonight, we'll stay till, I think we're going to probably stay till 4 in the morning, and we'll kind of give the field a mini scalp and put rye seed out on the field. And that mowing cuts a lot of that paint off. And then during the week between irrigation, and we're mowing 7 days a week right now, so it doesn't take too long for that to disappear. By the next game, that'll be completely gone, and we'll just go back to our normal end zone.
How big is the brainstorming committee that thinks up what's going to be the next theme?
Well, my assistant Josh is very creative. He was actually going into art, I believe, when he was in school in Iowa State, and really brings that artistic flair to the groundskeeping profession. And so, like I say, we were just walking down the field and saw some squiggly lines on the scoreboard. And 5 minutes later, he's got a topographical map out and starts drawing things up. And so it was kind of the two of us that were kind of running with it and looking with the different options that he had drawn up. And then we just presented that to the higher ups in the athletic department, and they thought it was a great idea. And that's, I feel really fortunate that they're giving us a little creativity.
Is the field right now at this minute ready for the game tonight, or do you have to run over there and touch it up real quick?
No, it's all ready. We finished our painting yesterday. The ASU had a little walkthrough practice afterwards, and they were pretty careful with everything. So there's nothing to touch up. It's ready to go.
How often do you have to re-chalk the yardage lines?
Every game. We do that on Thursday. We paint two coats on the lines on Thursday, and we paint the press lines. And then Friday, that leaves everything else. We started at 6 in the morning yesterday, and we finished around 1 o'clock. And that's both full background end zones, the center field logo, and all the other logos on the field.
How long did it take you to get approved?
Not too quick. I mean, it was pretty quick, and it didn't take too long. I think Josh presented that to them, and then maybe 3 or 4 days later got the word back that topographical map end zone was approved. And we have another couple in the works for later in the year. We have a really special design for our USC game on November 9th. but I can't tell you what that is.
Right, keep
now.
It secret.
Keep it secret. Yeah.
It's just hard to be creative on a deadline. That's what I was thinking about. Just being in this industry, you know, there's times where you're just blank. You can't come up with something.
Yeah, you know, we watch football games and we're just kind of sitting around and in some slow times, just thinking of different things. You know, there's only so much you can do on a football field. You know, you can't. You just can't go crazy out there. There's only so much you can do, but we kind of look for those little areas where we can show our creativity, and fortunately they prove it pretty quickly and let us do some creative things.
Now you're going to stay with us through the 8 o'clock hour, and we're going to let people ask questions about turf management. But this hour, we're going to just stick to football and how painting the end zone of the Sun Devil Stadium. I got to ask one question. Is that a full-time job?
It's a full-time job. Yeah, there's sometimes I'm...
There's
times in the spring when it's like March and it's 80 degrees and I'm mowing the grass in my flip-flops and I kind of say, they pay me to do this. Yeah.
I feel really bad when he said he's going to be up till 4 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning right. repairing the field. I'm like, I really feel bad coming down here at 7 o'clock in the morning. You're going to have are you going to get a nap at least before the game time?
I am. When I leave here, I'm going to go right to the stadium, and I do have a nice comfortable couch in my office. I'm going to get a few hours sleep. And then, you know, in this profession, we work crazy hours. We work holidays. We work weekends. And so I guess I'm just really used to the long hours.
You must really hate pivotal games that the Sun Devils win, where the fans storm the field.
Yeah, I do. That's
turf abuse.
That's one of the worst things. Yeah, there's actually been a couple times in my career where the game's really close, and I know if we pull it out, they're probably going to run on the field. And I'm thinking, do I really want us to win this game? Or I always root for us to win, and we'll deal with the field abuse later. But
Brian Johnson, manager of the athletic grounds at ASU.